the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Special Counsel Jack Smith saying in his final report that was released overnight investigating soon-to-be president again Donald Trump, that Trump would have been convicted if the voters had not returned Trump to the White House. And further, says ABC's Richard Cantu,
Smith reiterates that he wouldn't have brought the case if he didn't think he'd win a conviction. In a letter accompanying the report, Smith calls laughable Trump's baseless attacks on the federal prosecutors who brought two criminal cases against him.
Smith says the evidence shows that Trump used lies as a weapon in his attempt to overturn the 2020 election. The president-elect, in an overnight social media post, calls Jack Smith a, quote, lame brain. Santa Ana winds are kicking up again in Southern California. Additional water tankers and scores of fresh firefighters have arrived in the Los Angeles area to help out with the wildfires. The Los Angeles Rams winning their playoff game against the Vikings last night in a game that had to be moved because of the flames. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Part of it, because the whole body of work throughout the season is what should make you a champion. But I get that it's got to narrow, it's got to come to playoffs, and there's got to be more on the line for those long, later races. You know, maybe it needs to be like the last three races are determining the champion, not just the last one. I think that would be a good way to go, but they'll do it whatever they feel is the best.
This is the final lap.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Welcome to Staples.
I am so pumped. My business is going to kill it this year.
Awesome. How can I help?
First, a new computer.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you save big on tech.
And new posters.
Save on custom printing, too.
And,
A new chair?
A chair. Less time to sit.
Maybe all your new clients?
Now you're talking.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you'll find huge savings on custom prints, storage, chairs, and tech. And now save up to $175 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. N21.
Matthew.
Sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But as a fisherman in a small village in Indonesia, the cost of surgery was out of reach. Their lives were transformed thanks to Smile Train, which sponsors free, life-changing cleft surgeries and other essential treatments. Rajib's surgery marked Smile Train's 2 millionth, and incredibly, Aleem's was the 2 million and first. Now, their smiles are a symbol of hope for children with clefts all over the world. 540 babies are born with a cleft each day. But through Smile Train, millions of lives have been changed. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
The Jay
JR Sport Brief.
Browns? Forget Deshaun Watson. The Browns are probably getting what they deserve right now. The Haslam sat around. Oh, we spoke to him before we traded, and we feel comfortable and confident. Well, now y'all are screwed. This is a lesson learned for everybody out here. Just because something is right there in front of you doesn't mean it's yours to grab or take. I'm not cheering his injury, but damn.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
Well, we've got a little snow that's happening across the state of Wisconsin to greet you on a Tuesday morning. Hello, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee. Glad you're along with us. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We'll be checking in with weather. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, on the way in about 15 minutes. And we're focused in on, really, the lack of snow across the state. You know, yesterday we talked with DNR officials about ice safety for those fishermen that want to be out on the ice. Today we're focused in a little bit on ski hill operators and how their business model has had to pivot over the past couple of years because of the lack of snow in Wisconsin. Stand by for that conversation in just a minute. Like I said, there is just a little bit of snow that's occurring around Wisconsin. Today we should see partly sunny skies, daytime highs right around 13, but that wind is still going to persist out of the northwest, 5 to 15 miles an hour, so the wind chill values could drop as low as minus 20. Tomorrow's sunshine, highs near 22. Again, winds still a factor. Thursday, sunshine, highs near 36. The wind's not as much a factor. Friday, sunshine, and can you believe it? 42 degrees. Now, the weekend cools down just a little bit, but still above average, I'm sure. We'll find out if that's the case when Stu Muck joins us in just a little bit. Ben Jarbo is also on the way with us this morning. This is not the kind of weather that a Wisconsin honeybee enjoys. As you can imagine, our beekeepers are busy making sure that their bees stay healthy through the winter months. A Wisconsin youth was fascinated with bees, and it turned into a career they're now serving at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Ben's got that story. We're catching up with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing as well. Boy, that World Ag Supply Demand Report that came out on Friday was supposed to be a dud. It was not. We'll talk with John about more of that as we roll our way through a Tuesday.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Right now, if you take a look around the state of Wisconsin, there's one thing missing for this time in January. Snow. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yankee. And while many of us may be grateful for that, no worrying about shoveling or worrying about that commute, for a lot of our tourism areas, that's a problem. An expensive problem at that. I learned about it visiting the two researchers from UW-Stevens Point. That's Natalie Chin, who is also with the Wisconsin Sea Grant Program, and Austin Holland, who is with the College of Natural Resources at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. They conducted a survey of key stakeholders that are focused in on a winter recreation, starting with ski hill operators, to find out what they think about the climate changes they've been living with for the past few years and how it's changing their business plan. Natalie Chin starts us off by explaining how they came up with the idea. And believe me, they had this idea concocted before we started seeing winters that have been so barren of snow.
Yeah, it's really interesting because we actually came up with the idea for the study before last winter, which is so we were already thinking about climate change and impacts on winter weather. And most of that work has come through the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. We're part of the Tourism and Outdoor Recreation Working Group. And so we had been talking about different ideas for studies that we could do, and downhill skiing seemed like a good place to start. But yeah, it's kind of ironic that we did it before we had a really extreme winter with no snow.
So give me a little sense on the methodology. I mean, literally, Did you just reach out to ski hill operators in Wisconsin and pick their brains? Tell me a little bit about how this unfolded.
Essentially, we did semi-structured interviews with those that wanted to participate with us. We ended up with eight ski hills that wanted to chat with us about this. We had a pretty good scope and range across the state. And yeah, so we just asked them a series of questions about how they're being, if they're being impacted by climate change, how they're being how they're adapting to it in different ways, and how they saw the future of downhill skiing in Wisconsin, and what kind of adaptation practices they might consider adding in the future if things get worse.
What did you hear? Had these ski hill, what did they say? Wow, about time you noticed us. Or what was their reaction? What did they tell you?
I'd say everyone was impacted by climate change in some sense. Because Wisconsin is such a varies geography, like in terms of the, has varied geography, different landscapes, right? It's really diverse in terms of a state. So everyone seems to be impacted a little bit differently. And a lot of them, I would say what was really interesting was that they started doing things like snowmaking, adapting to as a business decision to enhance their ability to create and groom their sites. But now as things have gotten worse in the last decade, it's really been more of a necessity to stay in business. So
what other items did they, so how are they staying in business? How dramatic have they witnessed these weather changes? What else did you learn on just, you know, the operations they've had to change before you guys showed up?
You know, I don't know exactly how drastic the impacts have been, but, you know, obviously noticeable enough to be thinking about other ways of generating revenue. And so that includes snowmaking, but then also expanding to other kinds of complementary activities that they can do on the hills, you know, like event rentals. A lot of ski hills also have golf courses. And so thinking about ways of branching out into other kinds of activities, including activities that don't need as much snow, maybe like fat tire biking or snowshoeing. So there's different options that people have been exploring. Some of the other interesting things that we heard were people being very invested in sort of meteorological data and following that a little bit more closely to try to understand where these good windows are for making snow through the season, even if conditions are kind of fluctuating, more volatile is something that we heard for sure. So, yeah, you know, it was pretty interesting to hear what folks are already doing to try and, you know, keep revenue more consistent or more constant despite what's happening with the weather.
Forgive me for my ignorance. Is their technology changing to try to help mitigate this? Chillers that can do a better job making snow, a type of grass that can maintain the snow. You know what I mean? From a farming perspective, are the genetics out there? Is the technology out there to try to help them still keep their major enterprise in place, but maybe with different technologies?
Yeah, I think the technology question is really interesting because I think that there have been a lot of advancements in snowmaking technology. So there's ability to sort of be more efficient with resources as well, and do more with the technology. And Austin, maybe you can fill in a little bit more about what that looks like as far as what you heard in the interviews.
Yeah, and I think something that was kind of interesting was, you know, I think a big impact, and I would reiterate what Natalie said, nobody was overly, I don't want to say nobody was like, you know, downhill skiing is going to be closed in, you know, in 5 years or something. Nobody, it wasn't that dramatic, I would say. I'd say it's definitely something that they're thinking about, and it's just part of the business, everyday business operations. I'd say the technology side, like Natalie said, always improving in terms of different snowmaking technologies, but also I would say the meteorological data was super interesting to me, right? More real-time data so they can better plan for those cold, those perfect conditions to make snow, but also to anticipate when they're going to have periods where snow might be melting and groom accordingly. I also thought what was interesting was the kind of push for technology from the communications perspective. So something we saw was that the period in which the ski season has shifted back a little bit, and sometimes away from some like key holiday periods, right, where they might not have snow and the weather is a little bit warmer. So they're really investing in things like social media, like everybody, but also too like live cams or different cameras or just different ways to communicate to the public. I don't know if that's a change in technology or technique, right, to let people know that, hey, it might be 35 or 40 degrees out, and you might be thinking about going to play golf, but actually you can come here and ski.
Again, we're joined by Natalie Chen and Austin Holland, co-researchers that have taken a look at the erratic, interesting weather patterns that Wisconsin's been living with for a few years now, but specifically focused in on our recreational ideas on what's happening with ski hill operation and some of those winter sports that we definitely enjoy. Not that it was necessarily a part of the scope of your questions, but maybe just your professional observations. Are we unique? Is Wisconsin an island when it comes to skiing, cross-country, snowmobiling? Because I look to the west, and those poor souls can't climb out fast enough. Is this a weather anomaly? Is this, you know, get ready to fly if you really want to be assured skiing? You know what I mean? Tell me what your thoughts are, your observations, or what the counsel you receive from those ski hill operators right here.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's complicated with climate change and weather. You know, weather manifests at a local scale, even though climate change is a global phenomenon. I think that in many cases, the Midwest, Wisconsin is not necessarily an anomaly. I think a lot of ski hills in the Midwest are snowmaking, and other places too. And so, it depends also on altitude. So, you know, obviously higher mountains, they're going to stay colder for a little bit longer or more. So they get more snow just naturally. Also, you know, if we're thinking globally, you know, the impacts that we're seeing at the poles are going to be more extreme than sort of the middle, just because of the relative difference in how things are manifesting. So, you know, I don't want to say that Wisconsin is an anomaly necessarily. Everyone's going to be impacted by climate change, but, you know, there are a lot of place-based impacts that I think could just make, you know, sort of generalizing difficult.
Yeah. And I would say that we're unique in some ways. Again, that place-based impact is, I don't think a lot of people necessarily consider or think about outdoor recreation and tourism in terms of climate impacts. But we have a really bustling, fantastic winter sports tourism industry here, not only bringing people into our state, but also to, like, everyone in Wisconsin does some sort of outdoor activity in the winter. And those are, could be impacted as we move forward as a way that we, you know, do things. And so I would say that, like Natalie said, it's large and small and it's different everywhere you go in the state. But I think there are some unique impacts that we'll feel in the upper Midwest about how we recreate and live our life during the winter months.
That's Austin Holland, along with his fellow researcher, Natalie Chen. Both of them focused research on the UW Stevens Point campus, asking the question of how climate change is impacting Wisconsin's tourism, specifically our outdoor recreation. They started with ski hill operators, but they're going to continue to pursue this line of questioning, trying to find out what these operators are planning for, not just this year, but the future. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As we approach the 15th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, we consider the estimated $15.9 billion spent in the 2024 campaign. While still tallying up the total, Money and Politics watchdog Open Secrets estimates the 2024 election cycle was the costliest ever, surpassing 2020's $15.1 billion. For context, the $15.9 billion estimate is larger than the state budgets of New Hampshire, Vermont, and Idaho combined. Only 24% of political contributions to candidates were small donations of $200 or less, down from 30% in 2020. When you consider contributions to PACs and other outside spending, that percentage drops further, with only 16% from small donors. The top 1% of donors, they contributed an estimated 50% of all political contributions. That means by far our elections are not funded by citizens who actually vote, but by wealthy special interests and corporations whose interests may not align with the majority of voters. Open Secrets projects that outside spending alone, mostly by super PACs, will reach $5 billion. Now that the election is over, it's the inaugural fund setting records. The New York Times reports that donors to the Trump inaugural have contributed over $170 million. More on that tomorrow. We have more at American Democracy Minute.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him. And I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, I address whether the January 6th committee destroyed evidence. You know, that little tidbit that's been flying around the MAGAverse. It ain't true. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
Areas, Stu. Did anybody pick up more than an inch in Wisconsin in the past 24 hours?
Not much more than that, Pam, and it was really confined down to that southeast corner of the state. That's where the radar is still indicating there is just a little light snow this morning.
Yeah, okay, that's it. And is this about it? No more coming behind it?
No, I don't think we'll have any behind it. I mean, the low itself is off to our south, and it's going to dry us out today, and we still have the cold air. But that does change. There will be some improvement as we make our way on toward midweek, certainly Thursday and Friday. A lot more mild air is going to be in store. I'll mention this morning the cold weather advisory. Central and northern Wisconsin, the cold weather advisory, pushing wind chills down there at 20 or 25 below. And it does include Fond du Lac and Beaver Dam, Columbia, Sauk counties, into Juneau County, Mauston, and then straight north up toward Wausau, Shawano, and right up into the north central part of the state. That's up this morning till about 9. If you're in that area, if you're not in that area, bundle up. A cold start to the day. No real big changes here. A weak system may mean a little light snow in the west a little bit later Wednesday, and I expect then some moderation for later in the week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller Milk Receiver Pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Consider the big picture of agriculture and the weather outlook with experts Dr. Gary Schnitke and Eric Snodgrass during Compeer Financial's free Crop Insurance Spring Update webinars. Find more details and register at Compeer.com. Leave feeling empowered to build a strong risk management plan for whatever the growing season brings. Learn more and register for the January 16th and February 27th webinars at Compeer.com.
Alrighty, Stu, let's talk about our weather and what we better prepare for today.
All right, aside from that little bit of snow in the southeast, I expect for most of us, sunshine breaks through today. But those temperatures still cool in far northwest Wisconsin, single digits, just above 10, maybe some low teens in the south. Winds out of the northwest, still 5 to 15. Overnight, we stay clear, single digits above and below zero the further you head north. And winds out of the northwest, only about 5. Sunshine Wednesday, upper teens, even low 20s in the south. Southwest winds 5 to 15. That rain chance in the west late Wednesday into early Thursday. More clouds in the north yet Thursday. Pam, some sun in the south, but low and mid 30s for highs on Thursday with a west wind. Even warmer for Friday.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you said The Santa Ana winds, is that what we're calling them in California? They're kicking back up again this morning, huh?
Yeah, Santa Ana's go from east to west off the desert and through the mountains, and they're up to about 70 miles per hour, so that drives any fire.
Boy, those people are going to keep making headlines. All right, my friend, appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, giving you what you need as far as the weather details are concerned and thinking about those folks still battling the blaze in California. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, one of our guests on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he just drives, he's going bumping, 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 bumping,
bumping? Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Special Counsel Jack Smith saying in his final report that was released overnight investigating soon-to-be president again Donald Trump, that Trump would have been convicted if the voters had not returned Trump to the White House. And further, says ABC's Richard Cantu,
Smith reiterates that he wouldn't have brought the case if he didn't think he'd win a conviction. In a letter accompanying the report, Smith calls laughable Trump's baseless attacks on the federal prosecutors who brought two criminal cases against him.
Smith says the evidence shows that Trump used lies as a weapon in his attempt to overturn the 2020 election. The president-elect, in an overnight social media post, calls Jack Smith a, quote, lame brain. Santa Ana winds are kicking up again in Southern California. Additional water tankers and scores of fresh firefighters have arrived in the Los Angeles area to help out with the wildfires. Los Angeles Rams winning their playoff game against the Vikings last night in a game that had to be moved because of the flames. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The show must go on. Despite wildfires continuing to burn, production will start up again in Los Angeles. After being put on hold last week, Variety reports that shows like Jimmy Kimmel Live, NCIS Origins, and The Neighborhood will resume production. Other shows like Hacks, Suits LA, Ted, and Amazon's Fallout have not resumed production after being affected last week. Hollywood continues to rally around the victims of the LA fires. The latest organization to donate money is the Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of TV and Radio Artists. SAG-AFTRA had closed its offices due to the fires, which started January 7th. The union also postponed its in-person award nominating ceremony. SAG-AFTRA president, actress Fran Drescher, offered support to victims and those who have lost their homes and announced her union would donate $1 million to victims through the SAG-AFTRA Foundation. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Badgers could make history tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team has been around since 1898. And in that time, only three head coaches, Bud Forrester, Doc Meanwell, and Bull Ryan, had 200 or more career victories. If the Badgers beat Ohio State tonight at the Kohl Center, head coach Greg Gard would become the fourth. Gard's overall record stands at 199 and 110. Just one win away from 200, the Badgers are back in the top 25, ranked 24th in the nation. In the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings eliminated from the playoffs after losing to the Rams 27-9 on Monday Night Football. In Green Bay, a frustrated Tucker Kraft was asked what will he remember about this Packers season as he cleaned out his locker.
We couldn't finish. That's what I think of this team. We're all sitting in here in this locker room with frowns on our faces, people packing their are ready to go home. Yeah. People talking about the off-season vacations, and we should be getting ready to play the next game in the postseason. That's my opinion on it.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, our colleague Jimmy Cuska joins us to talk about potential changes within Wisconsin sports. Not everybody's happy. And how much money are we spending already on that Wisconsin Supreme Court race? Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is cold out there again this morning with a wind chill hovering around minus 15, and we're going to keep that wind chill below zero for a good chunk of the day today. Mostly sunny, our actual high 14 this afternoon. Tonight, clear to above tomorrow. Mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high of 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
It is 8 degrees outside right now.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other great Link products. Our VacPack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. And it's like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch, and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
News from the Center, WRCE.
These guys are a little stage fright. They can't do it. That's Matt LaFleur.
All righty, that World Ag Supply Demand Report that came out on Friday was part of the inspiration for higher prices yesterday. Things are cooling in Chicago, but there's still news to be made. Talking about that with John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend on a Tuesday morning. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report. Today is the 14th day of January, day number two of the Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Don't forget about that. So what can I tell you? Let's see. On this day in 1943, Churchill, Roosevelt, and De Gaulle all met to discuss strategy for World War II. It was their secret Casablanca Conference where they agreed that the Allied forces would accept nothing less than the unconditional surrender of the Axis powers. That was on this day back in 1943. On this day, 1967, the Summer of Love is launched. Stop and think about everything going on in California today. On this day, back in 1967, they had the Human Bee-In when San Francisco turned into the epicenter of the hippie revolution. That started on this day back in 1967. Quite a few birthdays today. Happy birthday to actress Faye Dunaway, 84, producer Steve Soderbergh, he's 62. Rapper LL Cool J is 57. And actor Jason Bateman celebrating his 56th birthday today. And now you know. Well, take a look outside. Not much green out there, is there? So if you're a Wisconsin honeybee, you've got to depend on somebody else to help you get through the winter. And our Wisconsin beekeepers are doing just that. I'll tell you what. One young beekeeper from the Watertown, Wisconsin area was so intrigued by bees that it turned into a career. They're now serving at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Ben Darbo tells us more.
Honeybees are known to be great friends of ours, whether it be for pollinating our plants or creating a tasty treat. But as numbers continue to decline, what can we do to help them? I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and with me is Dr. Liz Walsh with USDA ARS as a scientist in the Honeybee Reproduction Genetics Lab, and she's here to explain some of the research that she has conducted, as well as some research that she is currently conducting to help these issues.
My dissertation topic was looking at honeybee queen health, especially in light of miticide use by beekeepers. So just like so many industries, we have pest problems. Specifically, honeybees are plagued with this predatory mite called the varroa mite, which is the single strongest driver of colony death within the U.S. And so beekeepers have to resort to miticide use to kill this tiny mite, but not to kill the bees. And sometimes there are opportunity costs to miticide use. And so I was looking at how the presence of miticides impacts honeybee queen health for my dissertation. And I found that some miticides impacted the queens more than others. It really led me to the conclusion that so much of the agricultural industry has already gotten to, which is the importance of integrated pest management, where you do use miticides and pesticides, but you use them as a last resort rather than a first resort. From there, I did a postdoctoral fellowship in Canada, and I did disease ecology work there, primarily working with a
fungal pathogen called chalk brood. Ascosphaera apis is the causative agent. And so I looked at how different honeybee stocks show different resistance or susceptibility to this fungus. I also worked on a Canadian national initiative called BCSI, trying to figure out what specific stressors caused bee health markers to change, so that maybe someday we can use these stress markers as a diagnostic for beekeepers. And from there, I am now at Baton Rouge, where I'm looking at so many incredible things. I've got over 16 active projects right now. It's really exciting. The one that's just starting was just funded with a USDA NEPA grant, so $750,000 for several years to work on developing an integrated pest management toolkit for chalkroot.
Dr. Walsh says that currently most research that is being done on honeybees are done on the queen and not really on the drone, but she said that is something that she would like to look into eventually. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Ultima fungicide outyields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Ultima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Ultima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Consider the big picture of agriculture and the weather outlook with experts Dr. Gary Schnitke and Eric Snodgrass during CompHear Financial's free Crop Insurance Spring Update webinars. Find more details and register at CompHear.com. Leave feeling empowered to build a strong risk management plan for whatever the growing season brings. Learn more and register for the January 16th and February 27th webinars at CompHear.com.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. Ben Jarbo just talking about honeybees. I wanted to remind you also that the Midwest Honeybee Expo is coming up at the end of the month. Great opportunity if you or somebody in the family is kind of interested in bees, want to learn from some of the experts. It's actually going to be at the Waukesha Expo Center in Waukesha. Beautiful facility, January 25th and 26th. If you're interested, you want to find out more, go to MidwestHoneyBeeExpo.com. MidwestHoneyBeeExpo.com. Super folks. We appreciate working with them. Well, we're working with John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing, in just a bit here. He'll be joining us live to give us a little bit more background on Friday's World Ag Supply Demand Report that really cut back on U.S. supplies of corn and soybeans, but kept South America's projected crop unchanged. That's part of the reason why the markets were robust yesterday in Chicago, cooling down a bit overnight. Right now, March corn's down 2 at 474. December new crop down 2 at 455. March soybeans are up a penny at 1054. November new crop down 2 at 1049. March wheat down a penny at 544. July new crop down a penny right now, 567. And just for clarification, part of the reason why you hear me say cash crop and new crop. So if farmers are looking to pay bills right now, maybe get ahead on taxes or something like that, if they want to sell grain today, that's the cash number that I share. If farmers are thinking about what they're going to grow in 2025, that is the new crop that they want to know what the price is so that perhaps they can forward contract. Just in case some of you are confused by the language, I apologize. Dairy markets yesterday, the barrel cheese went up 3 at 188. 40-pound block cheese, that was up 9 at 191. Double-A butter, that gained a penny and a quarter to 261 and a quarter per pound. February Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 13 cents this morning at 2047. The March milk, that closed 31 cents stronger at 2027. And April Class 3 milk that goes into cheese was up 14 cents at 1975 a hundredweight. Up next, our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, going to enlighten us on that World Ag Supply Demand Report that came out on Friday. And we are 1 week closer to the inauguration. How is the world viewing Trump administration 2.0? Is that something they're talking about? John Heinberg joins us live next on the Midwest Farm Report.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome dietitian and nutritionist Sherry Stoka. And from the band Ask Your Mother, Eric Rathsack and Adam Krause join me in the studio. There will be rock.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
800-334-9779. Let's go to that report then, John. January is not normally known for a news generator, but boy, this one blew him out of the water, didn't it?
Yeah, this one really did. It really came in with some unexpected type of moves from the USDA. And obviously the prices have reflected that as they made a major cut in terms of the corn corn yield, dropping 3.8 bushels per acre, which really impacted the amount of supply that we had out there. Now, we've had a good demand base all the way through, realistically, since the August lows in terms of price. And we've seen export sales be strong. We've seen the ethanol grind be strong. And but this, you know, on top of that, though, this market was anticipating still a record yield type crop. And with that move, dropping things down to 179.3, that took almost 275 million bushels out of production. With that, USDA did soften up some of the demand, though, because that's just a typical move that they do. In other words, production goes down, tighter supply, demand goes down type mentality. But carryovers down to what we call 1.54 billion bushels. That's that supply of available corn that's out there. And that's one of our lower year numbers that we've seen here over the last handful of years. It's not really extremely tight, but it's not where we were just a few months ago. And that just sent prices to a nice move higher. Maybe getting a little top heavy here in corn around the 475 area. We'll see. But the money really poured in and pushed prices higher on that corn side. Over on the soybean side, same type of action there. Bushel per acre cut on the bean yield. No changes on demand. Carryover is still a relatively hefty 380 million bushels, but that was still well below what the market expected. And that saw the bean market move, as well as some other news events that were out there.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend here on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, that website, totalfarmmarketing.com. One of the reasons why soybeans moved had nothing to do with the crop or World Ag Supply Demand Report. John, you said there's some changes in 2025 that are influencing our soy complex. Explain.
Well, it's, the driver of the soybean market the last couple of weeks, maybe even more than just the supply-demand side, because even with the moves the USDA made, the U.S. supply is still relatively heavy on a historical level. The global supply is still looking at a record production of about 12% over last year's record production, counting those South American bushels, even with their somewhat weather concerns. But we have some policy issues that came into play here towards the end of the Biden administration. One of the things this market has been waiting for was the tax credit plan for biofuels. In other words, the biofuel industry, ethanol, biodiesel, the sustainable aviation fuel industries have been looking for a plan of tax credits that helps make their businesses more profitable overall and incentivize that production. This plan was called 45Z, and this market's been waiting for this. It was part of the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed well early in 2024. The administration kind of kept dragging it out until the very end here before they released some of those proposals. They came out also on Thursday and Friday last week with some base guidelines for those proposals. One of the big things in there was tax credits for used cooking oil imports were going to be not available. So that was one of the big things hit in the bean oil industry, was the fact that they were bringing this used cooking oil in as an import. Now, that wouldn't be able to have the tax credit for it. So soybean oil prices exploded, picking up almost $6 per hundredweight in the last 3, 4, 5 days. And that was one of the reasons we saw the big jump in soybean prices, is the fact that here's one of the products going to have had good value added to it. And people who crush beans to make oil, obviously see the value there, therefore raising the price of soybeans as well.
I had no idea used cooking oil was that big of a market.
It was one of the big buzzes over the summer, is the fact that here's this plan to bring the sustainable aviation get online, and as well as the green energy movement. And here we were bringing imports in from China in terms of used cooking oil. Used cooking oil imports exploded because of this plan, because the industry, being a business as it is still finding a way to get a cheaper feedstock. In this case, it was used cooking oil from overseas. So by limiting that, just focuses back to U.S. made soybean oil. And again, that was one of the biggest reasons we saw the big move in that market. Light corn, though, feels like maybe we're getting a little too toppy here in terms of how fast we've moved both oil as well as that soybean market. So to me, how do you handle this as a producer? Here's some great opportunity to get some prices we haven't seen since June in corn, and as well as some of the higher prices we've seen in a while in that soybean market to market into.
John Heinberg's along with us live on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, his toll-free number, if you want to talk to him about strategy, 800-334-9779. Let's take a different direction now and talk a little bit about what's going on with cattle, John. I had to update some markets yesterday, and it continues to absolutely amaze me how valuable cattle are, whether it's a Holstein steer, whether it's a cross, whether it's native breed. I mean, this is just still crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's been just a strong market in terms of price move. We're poking at record highs at the end of the week last week in terms of live cattle prices on the board here in the futures market. That's been fueled by multiple things. First off, obviously, the cash market just continues to be extremely strong. The cattle aren't out there, plus still have that feeder cattle import ban from Mexico in place. Just tightens up the supplies, and we've just seen those cattle prices continue to climb and climb. Now, on the live cattle side of things too, also we've still continued to see good demand as a consumer likes U.S. beef and has been buying that U.S. beef for their dinner table. That is keeping some pretty good support under this price here. But again, we're talking some pretty lofty levels. It's kind of a scary area here for producers. You got a lot of investment in feeder cattle going into the lot. You got prices at all-time highs. If things were to roll over very, very quickly, those margins would get squeezed very fast given the price that you're putting in. Now add a little bit higher corn price on top of it. And those margins could get crunched really quickly if this market were to roll over. So I continue to recommend defending these cattle prices somehow if you got cattle at home.
Real quick, John, it's winter in Wisconsin, winter around the Midwest. What about other things like heating oil, diesel, anything else you're noticing on the board?
Well, we've had a big move in the crude oil market. We're up poking at $79 a barrel here yesterday. Some of that was tied to the new sanctions possibly getting put on Russian crude oil as the Biden administration is closing out. So that has shot crude oil prices up to the highest levels we've seen in months. You know, so that in turn could be leading to some of those other prices. Plus, this cold weather that we've seen here has been impacting maybe some of those heating oil prices and things of that nature. So that's something that's been on the radar here. And that's just helped lift the commodity market in general. When that crude oil market gets going, we just seem to see money flow into all the commodity space on an inflationary type play.
Yep. Just get on the boat. Get on the boat. Good enough, John. Appreciate it. Have a good week. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report for a Tuesday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
This is news from the Setter, WRCE.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health, but you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The pace of a program to facilitate new broadband buildouts could pick up after the inauguration. That's next on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Something as simple as emptying a grain bin can lead to tragedy. Grain headed toward an auger is like quicksand, and farmers who've been pulled under have suffocated. If you absolutely have to be in the bin, make sure you're wearing a safety harness tethered to keep you above the surface. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Since the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program was made part of the Federal Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act 3 years ago, it's been all planning and paperwork so far. No dirt has been shoveled.
For far too long, an industrial country like us to be struggling with, quite frankly.
That's Tom Ferry, chairman and CEO of Connected Nation, a nonprofit that works to promote broadband expansion. He suggests that the process could move faster under the new administration. Ferry says the newly appointed chair of the Federal Communications Commission, Brendan Carr, could be an influence for faster broadband expansion.
He's been around the commission for many years now and understands exactly what the intentions are, how the agency can be positioned to make things like this go. Obviously, it's within the jurisdiction of NTIA, but the FCC has a real heavy influence in this. So these are folks that have the know-how, they know policy, and if they see a way to improve it and expedite the delivery of the promise of what BEAD intended, I think they're going to work diligently to do that.
States are currently filing their final plans for proposed projects that could benefit from $42 billion in federal funding. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, will be in with a Tuesday tangent with Lukester. What's grinding his gears? And more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. Matt and Air on Air.
It is our one-year anniversary here on Matt and Air on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
unbridled
the enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio. As always, good to have you along as we keep you company with our morning show time today. And we have a full list of guests for this week in Southwest Wisconsin. We love to focus on the area schools. And today we're talking about River Valley Schools. And one of our favorite guests, Lauren Glassbrenner, District Administrator with the River Valley District, is in. How you doing there, Lauren?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day out there. The sun is up. I know it doesn't feel real warm as if the sun is given us much, but when I got in the truck this morning, it's